He was about the most awful person I've ever worked for. You always felt like you weren't doing enough. He never said thank you. And because he was so, he gave so much of himself, you felt that you weren't quite doing your job. It actually took me, it wasn't until he died that I realized that I was incredibly fond of him, too.
Writer Leo Morgan talking about artist, publisher, and native rights advocate Howard Rock. Morgan worked for Rock on the Tundra Times, the newspaper he founded to serve as a forum for Native leadership during the struggle for land claims. In November, Epicenter Press in Fairbanks will bring out her biography, Art and Eskimo Power, The Life and Times of Howard Rock. It's a story that's taken her a decade to write, and a job that she inherited, not altogether eagerly.
Well, he had been asked by the Association of American Indian Affairs to write his biography. And he'd started, and he'd written a series of charming vignettes about his childhood, which were published in the paper. And he got sick and tired, and he asked me to help him with the biography, but he didn't give me any information. And when he died, he just assumed, before he died, he assumed I would take over the project. I knew he'd had a wife, but I didn't know her name. I knew he'd lived in Seattle sometime. I had no idea what had happened to him. And I discovered that he had been very successful in Seattle as an artist, and then he had too much wine, women, and song. He'd gone downhill and really made a mess out of his life. And then come back to Alaska, thinking he would go out quietly on the ice and commit suicide, just about the time that Edward Teller decided to do a little atomic test out there and try the reactions of Eskimo people to fallout. And Howard was the only man in his village who could read and write well enough to write those long letters to the Secretary of Interior and to Edward Teller. And he didn't have time to go out and commit suicide, and that's when he walked into the Alaska political scene, which is the only way I ever knew him. There was a prediction before Rock was born by a shaman in the village that he would be a great man. And Howard was brought up in the church, and a lot of the old ways have gone. His uncle was a very famous Eskimo and a powerful one. There's some feeling, and I often wondered myself, that Howard might have had a little magic of his own, because we would have no money, the post office wouldn't take Q1 credit, and we'd have to make a mailing of that issue of the Tundra Times, and yet he never seemed to worry, and money always came through the door. Something happened, you know, it always worked out, no matter how impossible it was, something we faced, it always just kind of worked out, and I think there was some magic there, just kind of fate.
Where in fact did Howard Rock come from, and what was his background?
He came from a very traditional village, Point Hope, which anthropologists feel is probably the longest continually occupied site in North America. And they're a village of very proud whale hunters, a very rich village, always were, and they just had a terrific hunting tradition. And Howard didn't like to hunt. So he ended up outside getting a white man's education.
He was kind of an anomaly, though, in his own culture. No?
Absolutely, yes. They didn't know what to do with him. From the beginning to the end, they didn't know what to do with him. In fact, it took them a long time to even begin to understand what he was doing with the land claims movement. A man's worth generally was judged by his ability to hunt, and he sure flunked out on that score because he was just too soft-hearted.
How did things work once the Tundra Times got rolling, and it seems to have gained a momentum that just carries it on no matter what? You know, what kind of an operation was it?
Howard had a plan. I found from the correspondence he knew exactly what he was doing, and he carried it out from the very beginning. He had his mind made up. The state needed Native leadership, and he searched all over, and all of a sudden the Native leadership emerged, and they needed a clearinghouse because there's Aleuts and Athabascans and nobody's speaking the same language, and Eskimos with two different languages. And the paper served as their central office, and so they could communicate with one another and find, keep things ordered so they were all going in the same direction. After the claims were passed Congress, he said, now the work is going to begin. Now we really have our job cut out for us. And he stayed on at the paper. There were so many new things. You know, everybody sort of lived by subsistence. All of a sudden there was money and board of directors and a whole batch of new things to. And he began to be recognized, which was wonderful. He got very sick with cancer. He retired, and then decided he couldn't afford to retire, and he came back and the paper had gotten into financial trouble. He pulled it out of the hole. And I remember the day he got nominated for the Pulitzer Prize. He opened the nomination on his desk and said, "Well, there it is." He just wasn't surprised at all. He did seem to, although he was quite sick, and the chemotherapy he took was tough, he did enjoy his last years, and he loved the paper a lot.
Writer Lael Morgan, her biography of Howard Rock will be published in November by Epicenter Press of Fairbanks.